Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. What you're about to watch is from our live stream broadcast entitled The Choice is Yours. Each person who's made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life now has the choice to either pursue God with all that is in them or to simply settle into a comfortable life here at whatever level their flesh will allow them. A person can either affect the world around them for God's kingdom or just live a nice life here until they go to be with Jesus. Once we are standing in front of Jesus, we will discover what we either gained or lost by our choices here. God is hoping that you will choose wisely. I hope this message blesses you.
Good evening, everyone. It's Thursday evening, and we're live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So glad that you have taken this time out of your schedule to join me as we do a teaching this evening. I'm excited about what God is wanting to say through me this evening. And we're going to begin by praying, so if you'll join me. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to teach, to be a blessing to the people. And Father, I just thank you for the change that's taking place inside of me that is enabling you to use me like this. And I just believe, God, that it's going to bless people. And I just thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you for taking the words, for ministering it to the hearts of the people. And I just thank you and believe you that lives are going to be changed as a result. And I come against any of the works of darkness that would bring any distractions, disturbances of any kind. And I just thank you, Father, that we're going to have a wonderful time of learning and receiving from your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was preparing for this live message, the Holy Ghost has been keeping some of this information as far as what he wanted me to share kind of to himself until I sit down in this chair and then just open myself up to him and allow him to pull the information out. So I have some idea what we're going to talk about this evening. I think it's going to be a little bit more of what we shared last week. We were talking about the transformation that takes place inside. There's three words that I believe are going to be very important for us to hold on to: edification, mortification, and transformation. And those three words, I think, are crucial for us to understand if we're going to grow and develop and fulfill the plan of God for our lives. I hope that's something that's of interest to you. Too many times I feel like Christians are people are just getting born again, and they're not understanding that there is a place for them in the body of Christ to fulfill. And if they don't understand that, and they're just simply going to church week after week, and they're just living their life the best way they know how, they're so missing all that God has made available to them. And it hurts me to see that, because I know for myself that the things that I'm going to be teaching you, that my wife Debbie and I, we have put these to practice, and we've seen the results. We've seen how God has used us and continues to use us. And it's not because we're special. Please don't get that idea, because we're not special. We're just people. But we have made ourselves available to a process of change and growth and developing spiritually. In doing this, that change that's being worked on the inside of us, that change is what God is able to use to be a blessing to other people, to you. And that's what this is about. It's not just simply about me going to heaven. You know, at the beginning, when I first made Jesus the Lord of my life, yeah, I've got to admit, I was happy that I wasn't going to go to hell anymore. But there's so much more than that. And I believe that too many times people will live their whole life with just this idea that getting saved is just like a get out of jail free card. I don't have to go to hell anymore. Thank God for that. But there's more. Dear God, there's more. There's fulfilling the call of God on your life. Yes, you have a call. You might think to yourself, well, you know, I don't believe that I'm supposed to be a preacher. I don't believe I'm supposed to be a pastor. I don't believe that I'm supposed to be any of those things. But that doesn't mean that you're not called to the body, that there's not a position that you're supposed to fill in the body of Christ. But what you need to realize is that it's not automatic. See, that's the thing that I struggled with for years. I thought that, hey, this is just automatic. No, it's certainly not. I remember when I first got saved, I had some idea that I was supposed to fill a place, particularly in the fivefold ministry as a preacher. But I didn't really know how to go about walking into that calling. I did what I thought was right. I went to Bible college, and fortunately, I received teaching very early on in my walk with the Lord about praying in the Holy Ghost. And that teaching, and we're talking about back in 1989, 1990, that teaching that I learned there, I have carried with me, and yes, I've received more along the way, but that initial teaching, it did something that started a chain reaction within me that caused me to continue to want to grow and develop in the things of God. And so personally, I don't understand someone that just prays the prayer of salvation and then does nothing with it. I don't understand that, because that's not how it was with me. When I got saved, I got to tell you, I knew I was going to hell. And so when I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and I began to experience the difference and know, hey, I'm a different person now. When that began to take root inside of me, when the realization that I don't have to go to hell became a living reality on the inside of me, oh, my goodness, all I wanted to do was to consume more of God's Word, to grow more, to develop more, to feed that hunger on the inside of me. So as I look around and I see people that are just content, I guess is the right word, they're just content with living a regular life, normal life, where their life doesn't really look much different than the other guy across the street, or the people at work, or anybody else. It's just all pretty much the same. And they're content with that. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want you to get the impression that I'm saying that a person in that situation is not going to go to heaven. If they make Jesus the Lord of their life, they're going to go to heaven. Thank God for that. But we're going to start off, he wants us to start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you have your Bible, let's turn there. That's a good place to start, because it's going to show us that there is something to be gained by following Jesus. There's something to be gained by going through a process in which you develop spiritually. A process where you put this old man to death, that you go through a changing process. Now, don't get me wrong, the moment that you made Jesus Lord of your life, and your spirit man was reborn, I mean, he was a brand new person. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, he said 5:17, that you're a new creation, and like a new species of being, that you are born again and you become a child of God. So where's the changing process take place? Well, even though that you're born a new creation, that there's still a developing in your spirit that needs to take place. But the part of you that did not change, the part of you that did not get born again, what is that part? Well, there's your soul and there's your body. Those two did not get born again. Only your spirit. So there's a developing in your spirit that needs to take place. And we're going to find out that that's where the word edification, that word is dealing specifically with your spirit. That we have a responsibility to empower the Holy Ghost through what? Through praying in other tongues. And in doing that, go present ourselves to the Holy Ghost as our teacher so that the edification process can take place. We're edified in that in our spirit, man. We're built up. The Holy Ghost, there's just so many things that praying in tongues accomplishes. That is not just one thing, it's multiple things. But the end result is this, that you build yourself up. In Jude, verse 20, it says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. You build yourself up. Build yourself up. Kodo bo shada basi. And I'll be honest with you. When the Holy Ghost began showing me how He wanted me to teach you these things, you know, there's somewhat of a reluctance at times to continue to share and share on the issue of the Holy Ghost, but He's showing me that the Holy Ghost is just so ignored in most church circles that you can't, it's impossible, because it's impossible for me not to share, and I couldn't say enough about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because His ministry is so ignored in most places in the body of Christ that it saddens me, and I know it saddens Him. So although it seems like I'm coming back time and time again talking about the Holy Ghost, it's because there's such a lack of teaching in this area, and even in places that should teach this is not being taught. So this is my job. I'm going to present to you the teaching about the Holy Spirit, about praying in tongues, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how we empower Him through praying in tongues to begin that edification process inside of us, and that continue that process of growing and developing. And we're going to look at the scripture, 1 Corinthians 3, and we're going to look at why do I care? Why not just live a normal, comfortable life and go to heaven and be happy? Why not just do that? Well, here's what Paul wrote. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, I want to start in the first verse, because he'll give you an idea in the first verses, the spiritual condition of these people in the church of Corinth. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it." He doesn't speak very highly of this church at Corinth. He's talking to them and he's saying, "You all are just a bunch of carnal Christians. I can't teach you meat. I can only feed you the milk, the very basics." You see, there is a teaching that is basic, and there's a teaching that's more advanced, where you receive the meat of the word. Well, how is it that you can handle the meat of the word? It's because there's been an edification that's been taking place in your spirit, man, that you're developed and you're able to receive it. There's been a change in your outer man, in your soul, that you're able to receive this information and put it to use. It's because you have developed spiritually. But these people didn't. These people, they were carnal. They were a bunch of backbiters. They were not developing spiritually. And Paul said, "I can't feed you meat. I can only feed you the milk. So let's jump down here to verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, this is Paul speaking, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth. Every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Paul's telling the Corinthians, he's saying, you can build on this foundation. The foundation has got to be Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now you can build on that foundation, and the building upon it is your life, your ministry. And in building upon that, you're either going to build a monument to yourself that's going to consist of wood, hay, and stubble, or you're going to build something that's going to stand the test of time, that the fire can come down and burn, but it will not be consumed. It's not made out of the wood, hay, and stubble. It's the gold. It's the precious jewels. These are the things. Those represent the reward that will last, the reward that we're going to take into eternity. Now, you might say, well, you know, I don't really care so much about having a reward. Well, you might not care about having a reward right now, but when you stand in front of Jesus, and Jesus who died on the cross for you and me, when he's looking at us, I can tell you right now, I know for myself, I want my life to represent something as far as what I did for the kingdom of God. Not what I thought up in my own mind to do, but the plan of God that I was able to fulfill. Those are the things that produce the gold, the precious jewels, the reward that will last, that will carry into eternity. The things that we try to produce in our own strength, the things that we try to make monuments unto ourselves, those things, they'll burn up. But we'll still end up in heaven, but we won't have a reward. Now, to me, I don't think that there's a more valuable, more precious reward than the faces of the people whose lives my life touched for eternity. The people that are going to be in heaven, because I went the narrow path and not the wide path, because I chose, and you the same way, because you choose, because you are choosing not to follow the way everyone else lives, but to submit yourself to a process of change whereby you are able to work that change, and the Holy Ghost is able to flow through you and minister to other people. Isn't that wonderful? That's what this is about. It's not just about me or you going to heaven. It's about going to heaven and taking other people with us. Taking them with us. I did a short 15-minute teaching today, and you'll be on the internet here shortly. And when it is, I would like for you to share it with somebody. It's a very short teaching, 15 minutes, on what it means to be born again. And I give the the detailed look at it. And why do I do that? Because it was something that was it was a question to me for so long. I didn't understand what it was all about, and now I do, and I want to share it with somebody else. So please, as you see it available, show somebody else that video. So going back to our teaching here, we're interested in a reward. So how do we qualify? How do I qualify? How do you qualify? Edification, mortification, and the transformation. When you affect all three of those areas, that's when the change is worked and the desire to fulfill the plan of God is worked on the inside of you. So we're going to begin looking at the first one, edification. And that's going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So let's turn there very quickly. Paul is still writing to this carnal bunch at Corinth. And in the 14th chapter, as he's writing to these people, you're going to notice that he talks about the edification process. But as he's teaching about it, he goes back and forth between edification personally or edification in the church. And you have to differentiate between those two. Which one is he talking about? Personal edification? Or is he talking about like giving tongues in a church service and then the interpretation of those tongues, which equals prophecy? Because he also talks about it and he's going back and forth. But what we're really interested in is what he has to say about the personal edification that takes place when we pray in tongues. And he talks about that in verse 2 of chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. How be it in the Spirit he speaks mysteries? Now those mysteries, what are those mysteries? Well, part of the mysteries involve the scriptures that are hidden to most people. Where you pray in tongues, you're edifying yourself, you're meditating on those scriptures. And as you're doing that, it seems like just out of the blue, the understanding of that scripture seems to drop down on the inside of you. And in some cases, this is how it works with me. In some cases, it's like a little movie happens, or maybe just a quick little glimpse. And it's like I understand all that's in that chapter or all that's in that verse just in a moment. So how long does it take to get to that place? Well, I can't. It's not a formula. There's no formulas for how this works. I know it'd be nice if I could say, if you do this, this, and this, then you're going to get revelation knowledge. But it's not like that. I can't tell you if you pray in tongues for this many days or this many weeks, or if you meditate the scriptures this many times, that all of a sudden once you get to that 20th or 30th or 40th time, that suddenly the clouds will part and the revelation will drop inside of you. It doesn't work that way. Each one of us are different. And it takes a commitment on each one of our part to stay in there, keep reading, keep praying. And before you know it, you're going to be walking down the street, doing something, and the understanding of a scripture can just settle down on the inside of you, and you'll feel like you've known it forever. So let's go back to this again. We're looking at the mysteries, and he says we're speaking mysteries. Well, that's one aspect of the mysteries. Another aspect of the mysteries, as we're praying in tongues, is we're actually praying out the perfect plan of God for our lives. I want you to look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I believe, is probably one of the greatest chapters dealing with the Holy Spirit and the process in which, first of all, we're born again, but then the process in which we are empowering the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. So in Romans 8, we're going to jump right to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Now, you see a word like infirmities, we're not necessarily talking about infirmities like sicknesses, like you're sick. The infirmities that we're talking about here is what he says next, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, I, for one, can say, I know exactly what he's saying here. I don't know exactly what I need to pray for the way I ought to. What do you mean by that, Mark? Well, it has to do with the plan of God for my life, the unique place in the body of Christ that I fit. Now, I don't know, you know, what I might need 6 months from now, a year from now. You know, do I need an airplane? Well, I don't know, but he knows. And it, to me, it's still a mystery. Where he wants me to go next week, next month, next year, that's a mystery to me. So I don't know how to pray. If I did, if I knew the beginning from the end, if I knew the future, I could pray exactly that prayer about that future. But I don't know. So it's a weakness. It's an infirmity to me to not know that. But he knows. And here's what happens. As we pray in tongues, as I pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost will search my heart, and at the same time, he is looking at the plan of God and finding my place in that plan. And there's an intercession that's taking place where it's causing my life to fit perfectly into the overall plan of God. See, God's got an overall plan. He's not making this up as he goes along. He has a plan. So where I fit in that plan, this just came to me, and I said this one time as I was preaching. The overall plan of God is a static plan. That means it's unchanging. It means he has an objective that was already decided before the foundation of the world. So in that overall plan, as I pray, the Holy Ghost checks that plan in my life, and he molds that path for me in that plan. And it is so strategic. It is so instant right now. It's not a hit or miss. It's me fitting perfectly in the overall plan of God. Now, follow me on this, because this is interesting, and I believe it's going to bless you. From 1 minute to the next, people are making decisions. Things are happening. You know, maybe you're listening to me right now. Husband, wife, maybe they left you, and you're by yourself. And now you're trying to figure out, okay, where do I go from here? How can I fulfill the plan of God for my life? It's everything that you'd ever planned has just totally, it's like the rug got pulled right from underneath your feet. And in your heart and in your mind, you're looking at the rest of your life right now, and you're thinking to yourself, what can I do? How can I fulfill the plan of God for my life? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I have good news for you. Praying in the Holy Ghost is your way in to that plan, because the Holy Ghost is going to search your heart as he searches the plan of God, and he's going to put you right on the path to fulfilling the plan of God for your life, so that when you stand in front of Jesus, you can look at him and you can have a reward for a life lived for him. Isn't that good? That you see, there's not one person whose life it cannot be salvaged, who's made such bad decisions that there's no way back to the plan of God. Oh, yes, there is. Well, you might say, well, Mark, and I really believe that he's having me say this specifically because there's people listening right now that this fits you. You've sinned. Maybe you weren't like the in the first example. You're the guilty one. You walked out. You left your spouse. Maybe your ministry is just a total shambles. And now you're broken. You're coming to that place where you're realizing right now that if I don't do something, there's everything is lost. Well, Jesus knew that there were going to be people like you in that situation, and he already made provision by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and praying in tongues can take your life, no matter how shipwrecked it may look. First of all, repent for whatever sin that you've committed. Repent. Ask Jesus to forgive you. And then commit to praying in tongues. Commit to empowering the Holy Ghost to walk you out from this place where you are right now. No matter how hopeless it looks, you pray. You pray, and he will lead you out of that place. He'll lead you and put you on a course to where at the end of your life, you can know that you fulfilled the plan of God. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. So, I really believe that that's for somebody. I really believe that a person, and maybe you're just going to watch it on the recorded version later. There's no time in the Spirit. There's no distance in the Spirit. I don't care when you see this. If it's you, then receive it. Thank you, Jesus. So we're looking now at edification, and we want to look at what Paul wrote in the next chapter. Well, let me finish. Yes, Holy Ghost. We want to finish this in Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses, because we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. And the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts, he knows the mind. That mind is the plan of the Spirit, the plan, the overall plan, and where we fit into that plan. He knows it. He's God. The Holy Ghost is God. He's just as much God as the Father is. And he knows your place in the plan of God. And he wants you to empower him by praying in tongues. It's not automatic. It is not automatic. You've got to do something to empower him to work the plan in your life so that you can follow and you can walk directly into everything that God has for you. Now let's continue on here. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I want to stop there for a minute. That's one verse, and if you've been around listening to this type of teaching, you know what I'm going to say about that verse. If you haven't, and you're not sure what that verse is about, if you think that that verse, in any way, shape, or form, it means that everything that happens, everything, car wrecks, house burnings, any people, loved ones dying, that everything works to the good. No, that's foolishness. That's not God at all. Those things, when the enemy comes, what does he do? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If you see anything stolen, killed, or destroyed, you've got to realize that is the work of the enemy. Now, it doesn't mean that in the midst of all of that, that by empowering the Holy Ghost through praying in tongues, that he can't take all of those things that happen in our life and work a good plan. That's what this is talking about. It's not saying that just everything that happens in our life, oh, that sickness, that's God. Oh, that's rotten. That's rotten. That's not God. But it's through praying in tongues that all those things are taken together and the Holy Ghost works a good plan in spite of what the enemy tried to do. It's not that he caused it, it's in spite of it. He's working a good plan. So I want to make sure that you get that. Now I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 1. Now, we've been talking, before I start there, we've been talking, and I made these little flashcards because I love little flashcards just because it helps you remember. All right, we've been talking about the Spirit. The Spirit is the real person. It's who you are. When you were born again, this part of you was reborn. The Spirit of man, the Spirit was reborn. Now we're going to talk about these other two parts. It's the spirit man that gets born again. It's the spirit man that's edified whenever we pray in tongues. But there's still two parts of us left. The soul. And the soul consists of what? The soul consists of your mind, your will, your emotions, and your intellect. All of those are what comprise your soul. This part of you did not get born again. This part of you is still the same as before you were born again. And then you have the body. Again, the body did not get born again. The body is the same body that you had whenever you walked in that church building and you, or wherever you were, whenever you gave your life to Jesus and you made him Lord of your life, your body didn't change. It was the same body that you started with. We want to find out, because we know now that our spirit, that we pray in tongues and our spirit is edified. But what we want to know is, what about body? And so we're going to look first here at verse 1 of chapter 12 of Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, now follow me, you present your bodies. And what is he talking about? What did he say? He said that you present this part of you, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. Your body. Not your soul. Not your spirit. Your body. How in the world could you present your body as a living sacrifice? Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to talk about the body. We're going to talk about how you turn that thing over. Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Now look at this verse. For you are dead. You are dead. You are dead. Now, I look at myself. I read a verse like that. It says I'm dead. I don't feel dead. My body feels very much alive. If I let this body, it would actually sin if I let it. But I don't let it because I have control over it. And I tell it what to do. But if you look at the body and you understand that through substitution and identification with Jesus on that cross, you are accounted as dead. The death that he died on that cross, you enter into that death by making him the Lord of your life. Your body doesn't appear dead. It doesn't look dead. It's very much alive. But on the accounting books in heaven, you are dead, and this body is dead in Christ. Now let's go on here. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now look at the next word. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. What members would be upon the earth? Well, this member right here, this body upon this earth, it needs to be mortified. So think about this. Paul just said your body's dead, but it's only accounted as dead. He also followed that statement up by saying, mortify. Mortify the deeds of the body. All right, so with that in mind, going back over to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, look at it one more time. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I want you to think about this. What way might you offer your body as a living sacrifice? Well, I can think of one way, and that way is fasting. So in this verse, what he is talking about in verse 1 of chapter 12, he's talking about fasting. He's telling us to offer our bodies up as a living sacrifice. He's saying that it's our reasonable responsibility to do this. And you can do that. How? How is fasting working this? It's a positional truth. Positionally speaking, based on what we read in Colossians 3, you are dead. So you're working that truth by fasting, by denying your body food. Now, don't get me wrong, I've said this before, I'm not in any way trying to tell anybody to go on long extended fast. I'm saying that we need to at least refrain at some level, to shut our body down, let it know that it's not the boss at some level. And if you have any physical impurities or any physical problems, consult your doctor. Don't do things foolishly, but at least consider. And the reason why is because it is going to benefit you. It's going to put that body in the position that it should be in, subjected to your spirit. See, for the longest time before you became a believer, your body and your soul, they ran the show. Your body, when it craved things, unless you had a strong willpower, you pretty much gave in to whatever your body wanted. Your body wanted to do this or that. Okay, just go do it. So it got accustomed to being in control, and so did your soul. Your soul was accustomed to being in control. And now we want that whole situation to be shifted. Now we want the control to come out of our spirit. We want our spirit man to be in control, because we can trust this reborn human spirit. Before, we couldn't trust what was coming out of that death nature. If we followed that death nature, every single one of us had the potential to be the worst sinner that's ever lived on this earth. We had the potential. The only reason that we did it is because we exercised our willpower, and we built a barrier between that spiritual death and our soul, and we kept as much of that as bay as possible. But now we want that spirit, man, that reborn human spirit, because we can trust him. We want him in control. So now we have to deal with the soul and with the body. So he begins in chapter 12, verse 1, by dealing with the body. He's saying, okay, body, you're dead. Now, let's offer this thing up as a living sacrifice. Positionally, it's dead, but we're going to have to offer it. And how do you do that? You do it by fasting. You just do it. That's just the way to do it. Then you go to verse 2. So the body's taken care of. Now we go to verse 2, and it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now I have some aids here to help us in understanding this transformation process. So it happens by what? By renewing our mind. What are we renewing our mind to? We're renewing our mind to this right here, the Word of God, so that we think the way God thinks. Now, as I said earlier, our soul was in control, and our soul is our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect. Before we got born again, if we didn't have that soul regulating what was coming out of that spiritual death, we would have done just anything. It would have been terrible. Thank God we had willpower. Thank God we had godly parents that taught us, that put and instilled within us an artificial conscience until we were born again and received a real conscience. Thank God for them. So now our soul, mind, will, emotions, intellect, our soul has to go through a transformation process. It thinks the way the world thinks. It doesn't think the way God thinks. That transformation process is accomplished by renewing the thoughts of our mind. So in that renewing process, I want you to think about this. I've got some little flashcards here. When we begin the renewing of our mind, at the beginning, we just get born again, and possibly only, let's say, 0.5% of our mind is renewed to the truth. Maybe all we know is, well, thank God we're born again, and that's pretty much it. So what does that mean? It means, do the math, 99.5% of our mind is still thinking. How is it thinking? It's thinking the way the world thinks. It's not transformed, it's not renewed, and consequently, our soul is not transformed. There has to be a renewing process to the way we think. Well, how is that? Well, instead of thinking in lack, instead of thinking in sickness and disease, instead of thinking in poverty, in terms that the world understands, our mind has to be renewed to think the way God thinks. How does God think? Well, God thinks that if you have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that you can feed 5,000 people. Now, does the world think that way? Absolutely not. The world absolutely does not think that way. But that's the way God does. That's the way Jesus did on this earth, and that's the way we're supposed to think. Does it come automatically? You've got to be kidding me. None of this is automatic. You've got to take this word and put it inside of you and have your mind renewed to this. And as you do it, eventually you're going to reach a place where you're going to have 30% of your mind renewed to the truth. Well, what does that mean? If you have 30%, how much? You've got 70% that still thinks the way the world thinks. It's to say that your mind is renewed and suddenly you have 100% renewal of your mind, that's a fantasy. It doesn't happen that way. But as you continue to read and pray in tongues and the Holy Ghost gives you revelation knowledge, eventually you get to the place where 60% of your mind is renewed. 60. And now you're on the downside, 40% still thinks like the world. And the process continues. It continues until you have more and more of the thoughts in your mind renewed to the truth. And eventually, let's say sickness and disease tries to invade your body, the first thought in your mind is not, wonder what this is, I think I might die. Because your mind's renewed to the truth. And instead of thinking like that, now your mind is renewed and you know the devil can't kill me. This sickness and disease has no right in my body. Now it may require you to stand against it and command it out and feed your body or feed your mind with scriptures that guarantee that you are healed, because you are healed already. The price was paid by Jesus Christ on the cross. The redemption from sin, sickness, disease, and poverty was already accomplished. It's not, you're not going to be any more healed when you get to heaven than you are right now, because it's accomplished. The only thing that is lacking is the believing. It's the believing that it belongs to you, that it's yours. And the only way you get that is through renewing your mind to the truth, putting to death that body that tries to go the wrong direction, and the edification process of your spirit, edifying, building yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. So let's look at this transformation process a little bit more. What is affected in the renewing of your mind? Because it affects your soul. How do I know that it affects your soul? Because the word transformation, the word itself, it comes from the Greek word metamorpho. And that metamorpho is where we get in the English language metamorphosis. The metamorphosis, for example, of a little caterpillar that goes into a cocoon and that comes out flying a beautiful butterfly. That is metamorphosis. That's the transformation. And another example of that is the transfiguration of Jesus when he was transfigured. It's the same Greek word used there as is used right here for transformation. And I want you to think about this. When he transfigured, he was glowing. He was so different than how he walked on this earth at that moment, that transfiguration. So that word gives us the idea of a change so great that the end result is completely different than the beginning. The difference between a butterfly and a caterpillar. So as you go through the renewing of your mind and your soul experiences a transformation, it has to be your soul. We can't be talking about transforming your spirit man, because your spirit man was born. He was born with the nature of God. So we're not talking about a change we're not talking about the spirit going through that kind of a change. It went through that change when it was born again. We're talking about something that's transforming that did not get born again. And we know that the body is going through mortification. It only leaves one part, and that one part is what? The soul. And what's the soul made of? The soul is made of your mind, will, emotions, intellect. Your mind's being renewed. So what's happening to your will? Your will. Oh, I've been waiting for this moment to talk to you about what happens with your will. Because there's this idea that your will never changes. And I hear people saying, well, you can't follow you can't just do whatever you want to do. Okay? That statement right there. You can't just do whatever you want to do, because that won't be God. All right. Well, let me ask you. Based on what we're learning here about the transformation, and we know it has to be in your soul, and it comes through the renewing of your mind, and we know that your will is part of your soul, doesn't it only stand to reason that as you go through going through this change from percent of transformation to the next percent of transformation, that your will is also going to change? I think so. And what happens when your will changes? You want to do what God wants you to do. Bless God, it's a miracle. It really is. That we can go from wanting to follow the world to wanting to follow after Jesus. When I first got born again, I cannot honestly tell you the day after that I got saved that I wanted to sit here and preach the gospel to you. So how did it ever happen that now I want to do this? It happened because of the transformation process. So as you go through this transformation and edification, you're building up yourself by praying in tongues on your most holy faith, Kodo Bo San Darabasi. Your spirit man is developing and growing strong. And you're praying in tongues and the Holy Ghost, the plan of God for your life, the Holy Ghost is bringing your life in alignment with God's plan for your life. As that, all of that is transpiring, what you're going to realize is that His desire is growing up in your inside of you, in your spirit, and your want to in your soul is starting to turn, and it's lining up with what He wants you to do. One friend of mine preaches it like this. He says, the will of God, the desire, God's desire grows up inside of you like a tree. And it does. And it grows up in your spirit. But your soul, as you transform, as it's transformed, it begins to line up with that spirit man. And you want to do what God wants you to do. And that is good news right there. Well, we're almost done for this evening. And I hope that's blessed you, talking about edification, mortification, and particularly transformation. And I want you to see how important this whole process is, because it's going to affect you fulfilling your place in the body of Christ. And we're going to go all the way back to the beginning of how I started. It's about you wanting to do what God wants you to do, and you fulfilling the plan that He has for your life, so that when you stand in front of Him, there is a reward, and there are people in heaven because you didn't do what was easy. You paid a price. You went the narrow path. And as a result, people are going to spend eternity with Jesus. And that's what this is all about. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that these words will sink into the people's hearts. I pray that they will mull over what I've said, and that they'll desire to press in, that they will desire to spend time with you, meditating your word, praying in tongues, fasting, changing, so that there is a change that you're able to work through to bless other people. And I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for taking the time to watch this evening, or if you're watching this as a recording, I just thank you for taking the time to do that. Share this with other people, please. I'm not trying to promote myself. I want people to receive this truth so that they can be changed. Thank you very much for your time, and we will see you next week right here Thursday night, 7:30. Be blessed.
Hi, this is Mark. I hope this message has blessed you. God has made available to each person everything necessary in order to have as much of Himself manifesting through them as they want. Some will only want a small fraction, while others will choose to have much more. That choice, it's up to you. There will be some who will never stop and will become world changers for God's kingdom. Which one will you be? Choose wisely. For more information about our ministry, you can write to us at Mark Jenkins Ministries, P.O. Box 701138, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74170, or